Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
I was going to say we finally have everyone back, but then Sarah got tied up at work, and we're never going to get the whole group back together again, guys.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Some week, everyone will be not sick and here and not busy.
And some week. But Khadija's back from Cuba.
See, Khadija's back this week and Jocelyn's back. So yeah, there we go. So I feel like, yeah, so we have a small group ride this week. Maybe it'll be like a mini group ride, short ride. And we're going to catch up on Cuba because we have to hear all about what Cuba. And Jocelyn's FTP, of course. And then Sid is sending us a voicemail from New Zealand. I feel like I should tell everyone next week we're doing a mega crossover, super special group ride with Iron Women.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yay.
So Alyssa will be joining us. And that means that if you listen to both shows, you'll get them all in one.
Yeah. Oh, because it's on the same feed, so we're not going to have two of the same episodes.
Yeah. It's a Peloton. Feed. It's better than
Peloton.
A
Peloton.
Oh, whoa.
Hey.
Whoa.
So this week's the recovery ride. We're tapering.
Yes.
Next week right. Is the Peloton.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going for. All right. Well, let's do a quick ad break, and then we want to hear all about Cuba, okay?
Yes.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TryHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
I see you're wearing your Cuba shirt, Khadija. Yes.
Yeah, I like the shirt this year. I really like it.
Is that from the race or?
Yeah, this was the finisher shirt.
Wait, is it a polo?
Yeah. World Triathlon Cup. It's got the Cuban flag and then people swimming in Hemingway Marina.
Why don't you tell us? Okay, so you went down there for, it was a World Triathlon Continental Cup. There was like a pro race, but then there was also age group races.
Yes. So there was an age group Olympic, an age group sprint, and of course the elite Olympic. And it's every year. Most years they have a half as well. But the last 2 years, since they're still trying to recover a little bit from the pandemic, they're just doing sprints and Olympics. Next year, they plan to do a half again, which I'm excited about because that's my favorite distance.
Nice. Is this the race in Cuba that you always go to?
Yes.
Okay. Because yes. I didn't know. Do they always also have a
the
pro
world race?
Tri-race,
yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. It's been a World Cup race for, I think, since 2013.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay, here's my question. American citizens can travel to Cuba these days or cannot?
They can. It's never changed. It's the only thing that's changed is that cruise ships can't go there. So you can go as a visitor for athletic event, a cultural event. There was quite a few people there for, there was some kind of dance convention there. You can go for religious reasons, family visits.
Interesting. Yeah, because like my sister-in-law wanted to go 10 years ago or something. And that was what prompted them to get their Irish passports, because she ended up going on an Irish passport because she like for some reason like couldn't on her US one. But I don't, I'm not saying she was right. I'm just saying this was her.
Yeah, it's a big misconception. A lot of people think that, because I told a lot of people, oh, I'm headed to Cuba. And they're like, what? How are you going there? Like I was breaking the wall.
Right.
I go every year, twice a year.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So we can all go to Cuba is what I've
learned
from this.
So next year we should have a group ride down the Malecón.
How was the, so I heard Gwen Jorgensen won the Conti Cup.
Mm-hmm.
That girl is just like,
how did she look?
Yeah. Is she, how was it?
The sprint started after the Olympics. So I didn't get to see the ride and the run. All I saw was the swim and her get out of the swim. She was actually pretty far back on the swim, so I was kind of surprised. But this race, there's a lot of young athletes, so she probably just played it smart and rode on their wheel. And then she ran, I think, 32 minutes on the 10K, and the closest next runner was like 36 minutes. So she probably gauged.
Wow. Yeah, see, like, that's the thing, though, for, like, her. This is, like, we're going to tell you the not about, like for her, like she can own it still at a Continental Cup, but then you get to like some of the higher up World Cups or like the WTCS, and those girls can run a 33,
yeah,
and they can swim faster. So it's just like you can't just like count on being able to do that.
Yeah. Because I was surprised at how far back she was on the swim, but the Caribbean, especially the Caribbean athletes, they're swimmers.
Right.
They're swimmers.
Interesting. But
most of them are not strong cyclists, but they are definitely swimmers and runners.
She's just trying to like get all those points, you know, get all those points so she can get on that start list for Yokohama. That's Yokohama. The next call. Yeah. Right now she's on the start list and Kaiza Ferris isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
something to think about.
So, and how was your race? Yes.
Yes. How was your race?
Oh, I had fun. So in my age group, there were only four people. But I did win my age group.
You did not need to tell us how many people.
No, I won my age group. I mean, it could have been
40 people. Yeah.
And I was second place master, so that's everybody 40 and up, which is great.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think I was like, I don't know what I was overall, but it was It was nice.
Is it because you have a coach this year?
Well, you know what? I did feel great. And the thing was, I rode a fixie. So there's 400 feet of climbing from
why?
Because I go so often. I wanted to have a bike there for transportation, so I took a steel fixie.
Interesting.
Is this the Walmart fixie you had?
Yeah,
from your first race.
Yep, Baker's Time. That's that bike's name. And but I did great. My client and I really, because we did a lot of running around on our bikes, but I could really feel as the week went on, my pedal stroke was improving, my climbing was improving, and I really enjoyed it. I think I got a lot out of it from a training perspective as well, because I know I rode, I had to have gone probably over 100 miles of cycling between.
On your fixie.
Damn. Yeah, between running errands, traveling back and forth to Havana from Colima. It was, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I had not considered fixie riding for training, but there you go.
Yeah, for climbing, especially, you know, mm-hmm. when you're doing those slow climbs, you got to get your pedal stroke nice and even. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a lot out of it. So, and my run was a lot stronger than I expected. The first mile, I was like, oh, crap, I feel good. Let me run a little bit faster. Oh, crap, nice. I still feel good.
Yay!
Nice. Are you considering this for your bike training, Jocelyn?
Well, so I was in I did do a training camp in from Switzerland to France where my rear derailleur broke back when I was training a lot. And then so we were able to rig it where it was a fixie in the back and I could either go in the big ring or the small ring in the front.
You pick your poison.
Yeah. I had that happen one time where I was like the far end of a 4.5 hour loop. You know what I mean? Like where you're like out yeah. there and my battery dies and I go, oh shit. And I stop and I go to pull out my phone and my phone dies like in front of my face. And I'm like, well, guess I'm riding home in one gear.
Yeah. So I've biked in the French Alps with nice. Just one nice. Gear in the back. And I did feel like at the end of that week, I got a lot stronger. So, yeah.
Well, how is, obviously we have to get weekly FTP updates, I feel like.
Okay. So I'm going to be retesting next Friday, but this week is, I still call it the Tour of Sufferlandria.
But, oh, it's from that when they had like
yes, that old yeah. Suffer so Fest. For mm-hmm. people that are a little more old school, there's these videos that are called like the Sufferfest videos, which are over 10 years old. So back in the day, before smart trainers, you could buy a download of this video for like $12.99, and then you would ride your dumb trainer, and it was all by perceived exertion. But it's like, they have footage of like pro cycling races and they do like this like funny little plot with like a lot of really sarcastic humor, but it's like hard, really hard intervals on the bike. And now that it's like everything's streaming now, right? So Wahoo ended up buying the Sufferfest videos.
Yeah. And it's well, they bought the whole company. Training. They
yes.
bought, yeah, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I have the Sufferfest, all the Sufferfest workouts on my app. But I don't know. I just couldn't get into Zwift. I use,
yeah.
Well, it is an old school, probably app. It's called Perf Pro Studio. But I like it because you pay one time and that's it.
No,
you don't
have,
it's not a subscription. I get so, it's hard to keep track of all of my subscriptions.
I know, there's so many.
I accidentally had two Hulu subscriptions. Took me forever how to figure that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything's streaming now. I couldn't get into Zwift. I don't know if it was just like, but I always loved the Sufferfest videos because it was like, it was an interesting plot and I could like work hard. But then when I got the smart trainer, I finally converted to a smart trainer. Like, it was really confusing for me. And then it was like, oh, you go in erg mode.
I didn't even know erg mode was a thing until like a few, I mean, I understood the concept, but
yeah,
I just don't, I mean, it just seems dumb. I don't know.
I do like it. It forces you. It's like, you can't cheat. So,
okay.
So everything's based on your last FTP test. And I have learned that the downside to raising your FTP is like everything keeps getting harder.
Yeah, that's sort of how that works. What's the whole saying? It never gets easier. You just get faster.
You just get faster. Yeah. So yeah, it's not any easier. And I'm like, oh my God, but there's, so it's 7 days, seven stages. Like the first and the last stage are about 2 hours. And then the stages in between are like an hour. So this is actually forcing me to bike way more than I have in like many years. And it's teaching me I can get up early enough to work out for an hour work. It is possible. So it's like a good kick in the pants to like get training again. But yeah, and like, you know how I said my goal FTP is like 250?
Randomly, so you just picked a number.
Yeah, I just picked that. And right now it's 210, but there's like some of these intervals where it's like 20 seconds at 250. And I'm just like, oh my God, I want to hold this for 20 minutes eventually. But right now I'm dying.
You know, when you have to go, like the first time you go to the track and it's like, do whatever, 800s at half marathon pace. And you're like,
yeah, I can't hold this. My half marathon pace is walking. Oh my God.
Like, that's a shame. But okay, but is this the, okay, so you were saying, because it used to be Sufferlandia or whatever, but you were saying it's now the Wahooligans?
Yeah, so there's a, because we like talking about controversies.
Well, sure, but it's now owned, because it's now owned
it's
by Wahoo.
It's owned by Wahoo. They renamed it the Wahooligan Tour instead of being the Tour of Sufferlandria. So Sufferlandria is the fictional country that all these videos are based out of, where the point is to learn to suffer. But now it's the Wahooligan Tour. It's the whole thing is a fundraiser for the Davis Finney Foundation for Parkinson's disease. So it's a big fundraiser they do every year. But yeah, it got renamed the Wahooligan Tour. And I didn't realize this, but like on all of the forums, there's a lot of international riders, and a lot of the Europeans are like really against the new name, the Wahooligan Tour, because hooligan is...
Wahooligans is a phrase that Wahoo's used for many years. Yeah.
Right. Right.
But they don't like the word hooligans because it has like other meanings over there.
Yeah. You know, my mom thinks hooligan is a derogatory term. My father doesn't even know what the word means.
I mean, like, it is, but I think, like, in the U.S., it's, like, something, like, my mom would say it when I was, like, right? Like, she definitely used it, but it was, like, it feels like an old, right? It's, like, oh, you hooligans. Like, it's, like.
Yeah, to me, it was, like, if you have, like, the grumpy old neighbor who's, like, get off my lawn, you hooligans.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? But apparently, in Europe, it's, like neo-Nazis or skinheads are hooligans. And
I think it's like, because I think like when I think about it in the UK, I think of it as like the hooligans at the soccer matches who like burn stuff and like cause riot. You know what I mean? Like the crazy.
They're troublemakers.
They're troublemakers. Yes. Right? And it's always guys, and it's always white guys.
Well, according to the Oxford Dictionary, it says a young violent troublemaker, typically one of a gang.
Oh, well.
Yes.
So, oh, and look at the pictures. They look like neo-Nazis.
They do look like neo-Nazis.
I was like, okay. what's the don't judge them, you know?
We can judge neo-Nazis.
Yeah. I get that. But Wahoo's also, I think, a UK company.
Are they?
Now I'm like, obviously they have offices like everywhere now, and like they definitely have but I like have talked to them enough times. I thought they were like an European. But now I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, because some people are protesting. They're like, I'm not doing the tour until they like rename it, because I don't want to be affiliated.
Why'd they change it from Sufferfest? Because all of y'all are into suffering, and I don't want to suffer. Right, I just want to have fun myself. But
I think they changed it because when Wahoo bought, so Sufferfest first changed its name too. They went to like Suff, like they like got rid of the, like,
that's...
yeah. Because to your point, they didn't want to they wanted to get rid of those connotations about suffering. But then Wahoo bought it.
I think they've always been, their nickname is like SUF as the country acronym.
I was like, there was this, I just like was still, I just remember when this went down and they were like trying to rebrand. And then because they were trying to move away from suffering as a thing. Because so it's like a little weird.
They called themselves Suff. That sounds like but hip-hop then, gone bad. Yeah.
But then Wahoo bought them. And then obviously Wahoo wanted to brand everything Wahoo. So it like reef, like, because the Suff.
It's called System without.
Yeah. Without the, vowel, because Wahoo doesn't believe in vowels. Yeah,
it's such a dumb name. So it's like the platform is called Wahoo System, which is it's such a dumb name.
I have a hard time with all the names of things. I'm always like, why are we not? Why is everything in all caps? Why are we not using vowels? Why did like it's just very confusing to keep track. Or like I have like a Live bike, which is a really nice bike, but it's like official names like. The Advanced 7.0 Disc LR, right? And you're just like, dude, what the fuck? Like, why did we make this name so confusing? Yeah.
Sounds like a server name at my job.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, ask him if it's the user acceptance or the production environment.
Maybe I should just be in charge of naming things. Maybe that would be like my new job. Well, name.
That is a job.
That is a job.
Yeah. That is a job.
But the tour of Suff tour is going well, it sounds like.
It is. I do feel like I'm relearning my high capacity for suffering.
And fun.
Yes. Yeah, type 2 fun. I feel good afterwards.
You guys, honestly, this is the true story. I didn't realize. I like, people always said type 2 fun. And I don't think I knew. I think it was like 2 years ago before I finally learned out what type 2 meant. I would always just nod and be like, oh, yeah, sure. Type 2 fun. What the fuck?
I still don't know what it is. What is it?
Yeah. So apparently it means like, it's like, apparently like type 1 fun is like sitting on a beach and drinking margaritas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like what most people would think of as fun. And type 2 fun is like things that are actually like kind of not fun in the moment, like races or like pushing yourself really hard or like extreme hike, right? But they're fun. Oh, like that's why it's called type 2 fun.
It's not like type suffering one fun. And then you're like look back and you're like that was amazing,
right? But so I like fun. Literally didn't know what it was until like I
type
did not
one
know.
Fun yeah. Sounds boring.
Type 1 fun sounds fun sometimes, that's for sure.
It sounds fun when you're in the middle of type 2 fun, like your ultra,
right? Okay. So like I did my 50k this past weekend. Okay. and okay, so first off, it start like I thought it was like my local race because it starts like 400 meters from my house, but it turned out to be like it got written up in Outside on the website. It had like a live, right? Like it was
what's
covered
the
in like
name
podcast.
Of the race,
the Big Alta.
Oh, is it sponsored by Alta?
No. There's two peaks. There's two peaks. Okay, one's called Big Rock and one's called Loma Alta. So it's the Big Alta. Okay. Anyway. So it like had like, it's like, it's not a local, it's like a local race where like pros show up and you know what I mean? It was not local at all. It actually
this was a
like,
first year event?
Yeah. It's cause like one of a big pro runner lives around the corner from me and he was putting it on. So all of his friends, right? So he like knew everybody and.
So it blew up.
So like even at my best, like even when I was running my best, I was in like 20th place for the women. You know what I mean? Like it was not like this was not a like you were not going to win this. Anyway, I imploded myself. And when you live 4 blocks, I literally lived on the course, but I didn't do the end of the course because I was like, my house is 4 blocks away. Like, fuck this. I'm going home. And so I was thinking, so type 2 fun to your point. I was like, nope, I'm done. And then I went home and I had a beer and I sat on my porch and I yelled at the rest of the runners.
How far did you go before you did that?
Well, okay. So I, that was mile 27. The problem is.
You ran 27 miles and then decided to go drink a beer.
Yeah. So the problem was that, and I think this might be one of those things where everybody else, because they didn't know all these trails, they had like, what's the word? Willful, like blissful ignorance. I knew that the last 4 miles were another 1,000 feet straight up and straight back down. And I fucked my ankle. I fell hard. And I was like, I don't want to go back downhill that.
Yeah.
And I knew the last 4 miles was going to take like an hour. And I was like, no, I don't want to do this. So yeah, I think the people who like had no idea what they were getting into, they might've been better off.
Yeah. Yeah, because you knew a little too much. You knew where you could like dip out. And,
right. They also didn't realize that we were like 5 blocks from the finish line, because then you like turn and run away. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they didn't know how close we were. I knew. So I was like, no, I'm done. I'm out of here.
Are you still happy with that decision?
Oh, yeah. No, I was messed up. I was getting the thing where you get like the really bad headache because you didn't take in enough salt, and then you start to get cold, and then you start to get nauseous, and then you start to get dizzy. And there's this really, really steep descent. And I decided I was stopping at the bottom, like my house is at the bottom of the descent before we went back up. And I just kept falling on the descent, right? And at one point I was, because it was really steep, I fell, and I was sitting there, and I like couldn't, because my legs were, my brain wasn't working and my legs were, and I sat there and I like took in the view, and I was just like, I don't even, I was like, I literally like could not figure out how, I was like, maybe I'll crawl down this. Maybe I'll like scoot on my butt. You know, you're just like, you're doing like everything stops.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I could do that. What? Once I get like a mile into a race, I'm totally invested.
Really?
Yeah. I've only DNF'd one race.
I think my problem, to your point, like if I'm fully invested, I'm fully invested. I like wiped out hard 2 miles in. And I think that like after that, I went like, it like turned off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like then it was like every step like hurt.
I feel like this wasn't an A race for you either. It was more like a training day for your bigger one.
Yeah, I also kind of stupidly kept doing, I did a bunch of things where I was like, well, I'll test this for my 100K. I'm sure it'll be fine for 5.5 hours. And all those things I tested were not fine. So,
like nutrition
experience.
So was this nutrition and shoes related?
And then I finished, and I also, and I was wearing a pair of shorts, whatever. And I finished, and there's blood like all down my legs. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I'm like, apparently I chafed myself so bad that there was like blood just, and it had mixed with all the mud because I had fallen so much. And so it was just like, so bad.
Did you wear booty shorts? Was that the problem?
I did, but they're ones I've worn before.
All
and then I was
shorts
like,
are
oh,
booty
no.
shorts.
All my shorts are booty shorts. Oh my God. Oh. So I looked a mess. I was like, oh my God. So now I have to do another one though, because I was like, well, clearly that did not like if you were going to test a bunch of stuff for a longer race and then it went that badly, you're like, well, clearly I did not nail it, so I'm gonna have to try again.
Do you have time? When's the 100K?
It's in like a month and a half, but it's the Bay Area. I was laughing. I was like, oh, it's the Bay Area. There's a 50K every weekend.
Yeah.
I can jump into. Yeah.
But you don't want to do a 50K that close. I mean, you say a month and a half, that's 6 weeks.
Yeah. No, I'm going to do one 3 weeks before I like figured out which one.
Are you serious?
It's a training race.
Yeah. And well, then it was, like, on my training plan, it already was like 28 miles that day. So it's like, I might as well do.
Just do it. It's fine. 3 weeks is plenty of time. Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about grabbing, you know, stuff for yourself. You're supported.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes. On the plus side, for my 100K, I will not be able to be like, I'm just going to walk home.
Where's your 100K going
to
be?
Up in Auburn. It's like one of the big UTMB ones. I went to book my Airbnb last week, and apparently it's like all booked out because, you know, like 1,000 people show up for this thing or whatever. I was like,
to get their stones.
Oops. Yeah. But
then you can just park in the parking lot.
Well, here's the best part. The only my parents are coming. This is why I was like, oh, I'll just rent an Airbnb instead of like, you know, camping. The only Airbnb that was like available was a glamping tent next to these glow-in-the-dark pickleball courts on the property.
Not the pickleball. Ooh.
And so I sent it to my mom and I was like, here's where we're gonna stay. She was like, no.
Yeah, my mom would have a fit. Oh, dear Jesus. I can see it now.
Yeah, so Motel 6 it is, you know. All right, we're going to take an ad break, and then when we get back, we have a voicemail from Sid, who's over in New Zealand right now. So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your, like, post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored heel to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the AminoCo heel chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all AminoCo products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's AminoCo, AminoCo.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
All right, Sid, you couldn't join us for our regular ride because you have the pro meeting then, because it's Ironman New Zealand week.
I know, it's come around quickly, hasn't it? I was all like, it was quite nice. I got up here last Friday and I was like, oh, it's ages away. And now suddenly it's, as always, it's suddenly fast forward and it's, yeah, two sleeps out or whatever.
Two sleeps. Yeah. Are we still saying that? Is that still a thing people are doing?
Yeah, of course we do. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I caught up with Meredith Kessler yesterday and she said, oh, we're three sleeps away. It's like, yeah. Yeah, we're still saying this.
So how is it? So you went down for Wanaka. Did I say it right? It's Wanaka, right?
Yes. Yeah,
Wanaka. How is Wanaka? How is New Zealand?
Wanaka was amazing. It always is. It's just so, it's so stunning down there. It's so beautiful. I made the decision just with training and stuff. I flew in pretty late for that race. And obviously from the US, which the last time I raced, I was coming from New Zealand to New Zealand, if that makes sense, because I was living there. So that was like the time difference, it's 4 hours, just another day ahead, but obviously you've just got like 30 hours of travel, so it was always going to be a bit of a gamble coming in late and then racing that, and also and particularly racing a half. But it was stunning. Like, we had great weather. Yeah, you can't, like, you just can't find a bad place down there. And so, yeah, and then also enjoyed stocking up on all my favorite coffees and cafes. And it's just a good, great town. They have like, I love they have all these like little coffee caravans around the place where it's just like small business, but all great coffee.
Have you seen that Taylor Swift quote, jet lag is a choice?
Oh, is it? Yeah, no, I hadn't seen that. Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah, because she's done a fair bit of travel around, I guess. I must say the New Zealanders are quite annoyed that she didn't come over to New Zealand on her tour, and they've all had to travel to Australia to watch. But
flew to Ironman New Zealand, and 70.3 Worlds this year, this fall, yes, this November, is where Ironman New Zealand is, right?
Yes, correct. Oh, okay. In Taupo, yes.
So do you have tips for people? Like, what should people know about?
Yeah, I'm actually going to do some filming with Ironman after the race. So I would suggest, yeah, if you haven't got your accommodation booked, I would get it booked soon. It's not a big place. There's not going to be much accommodation around. I think they're a little bit worried about that. They're not obviously not going to say that officially. Almost like, you know, one person suggested they should just like rent camper vans and then stay in a campsite, and then you can go off traveling afterwards in the camper van, which is a very Kiwi thing to do. But I would definitely say, yeah, get your accommodation early. And you probably, there are some sort of, maybe, I don't know, Airbnbs and stuff just outside around the lakefront, but not maybe in Taupo itself. There are some hotels, but I would imagine, you know, Ironman's probably going to have booked up a fair amount of those, and they're going to go pretty quickly. What else? Tips. Sun cream. The sun is very intense down here, even though it doesn't feel hot. It's very intense because of the ozone layer. And just lower pressure in your tires because the road surface is super rough. So oh, yeah, they haven't. Yeah, it's just like really thick chip seal. So you're just going, you know, a couple of miles an hour slower than you would experience in like German roads in Roche perhaps. Or actually, funny enough, in Wanaka, one of the little coffee caravans was run by a lady who comes from like Hippolstein and Nuremberg Roth. Yeah, which was really funny. Because the Germans aren't normally that famous for their coffee, but she was very good. Anyway, so yeah, the road surface. But they haven't fully confirmed the course yet. And I'm hoping that's because they're gonna take it. So the Ironman course and the 70.3 course this weekend, it's a pretty much straight out and back along what's called Broadlands Road. It's great, but I don't think it's super exciting or going to break things up enough for a world champs.
Right.
So I think a lot of us are hoping they're going to take the bike sort of up into the hills around
a
the
little bit. Okay.
Around, but don't know yet.
They haven't announced it yet. Okay.
Not been announced yet. So yeah.
And yeah, so Ironman New Zealand this weekend, by the time this airs, it actually will like be underway because you guys are like a day ahead of us. Like some big names this year. Like, why?
Tell me about it. Why? Why did they all choose to come this year? This is not meant to be like, no one ever comes to New Zealand. It's meant to be like the nice little choir race. Look, it is great for the race. It deserves the big names. It is such a great place and it is such a great event. So it's really great to see those names coming down. It is the 40th year anniversary. It's one of the longest running Ironman races outside of Kona, I think. I think it's the second one after Kona that's been the longest running. So there's a lot of history here as well. And I don't know whether so Chelsea Sodara is down here, which they're obviously loving as the 2022 world champion. Mm-hmm. That she's come and, but of course she's been down here. Coach Dan Plews lives here, so she's been down here for a fairly big block. I'm assuming she just, well, obviously she'll want to win.
Sure.
But she'll be looking to validate for Nice World Champs at the end of the year. And then I would imagine focus on the T100 because she's contracted to do that. So I think it's an early season race.
Yeah, because there are early like three spots, Ironman. Right?
Yeah, like three slots. Spots,
yeah.
Early season. Although, you know, I've heard rumours as well. So Jocelyn McCauley is here, but it's a favourite race of hers, but she won't take a slot.
Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on a Sunday.
I've heard a rumour, but I will be interested to see if this pays out, that Els Visser won't take a slot. If she gets one, she's defending champion though, so that makes sense why she's back. Meredith Kessler, obviously 5 times champion here, always comes back. It's the first time I've been back, but lots of sort of history here as well. And then you've got, you know, Hannah Berry isn't racing, which was a surprise, but I think she's focusing on the Ironman series and this isn't in, but you know, Bet Clark, and then you've got a couple of other names in there.
Sure.
And quite a few up-and-coming Aussies, but then Barbara Viras, Amelia Watkinson. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's attracted a few more names, which I'm assuming, yeah, early season race. People that have been based down here in the Southern Hemisphere over our winter, so to speak, their summer. It's a good race to then race. because you've trained.
Yeah, so then they get it knocked out of the way. They can focus on whatever other stuff. And if you've been training down there, you're fit. Yeah. You haven't had to deal with all the snow. Most importantly, since you're back after however long, did you get all your stuff back that you left in your house?
So that's the next stage of the trip. So I'm doing that after the races. So on Tuesday, I go back to Christchurch, and that's where all of my stuff is to sort out. However, having said that, when I was in Wanaka, because I left my car with a friend there and ended up eventually selling it to her because I was like, this is ridiculous. She happily gave me a bag of stuff from the car, which I had not expected in Wanaka. So I had to do it, which is quite, I was like, oh, wasn't expecting this. And a few things I'd forgotten, most of
this is
did.
Like all stuff you left there like 4 years ago when
pre-COVID, shit went down. When I thought I was, I actually left from the race in Wanaka thinking I was just coming to the States for a 5 week training camp. Right. So I'd like left my car with a friend and was like, yep, I'll be back in 5 weeks and et cetera, et cetera. And then, the world shut down. So this is first time back again.
Crazy. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, you'll be back on our regular ride after. And because we need you to interpret British things for us. So when you come back, we have a lot of British questions.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm in.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Okay. So you guys, I remember this like 4 years ago when the pandemic hit. Sid was just coming over to Boulder for like a training camp. She had been living in New Zealand and she just like left all her stuff there because like she'll be back in 5 weeks. And then
she was not back.
No.
In 5 weeks.
No.
She hasn't been back.
No. She eventually just like gave her car away, she said. But I feel like, did this happen to anybody else? It had to have, right? I mean, it had to happen to a lot of people.
People that are like traveling and like living in different places. I had a baby moon scheduled. So my baby was due December, and in early July we were gonna go to my friend's wedding in Copenhagen, Denmark. That was also gonna be our baby moon. And then as stuff started shutting down, it was like, it'll be fine. Like, the trip's not till July. It'll be fine. And then every month that went by, it was like, can we cancel our flight yet? Are they giving us our money back yet? Right. And then we got a voucher that we had to spend. And we finally ended up going on our trip like after my daughter was like a year and a half old.
Oh, really? You actually went?
Yeah, okay. We still, because we couldn't get a refund.
Oh,
yeah, they were giving out vouchers like crazy. They were not giving up any dollars.
Yeah, they would not give us our money back. They gave us a voucher.
You guys, I didn't get, okay, I was supposed to move to Boulder in March 2022, which like kind of obviously didn't happen at that time. So like 2 weeks before that, mid-February, I was flying out to Boulder like every week at the time for like different work things. And so I was supposed to fly out there. I was supposed to meet Sarah, who's not here today, if you remember this. And we were like, she was also going to be in Boulder for some triathlons. And we were like, whatever. We were supposed to do like our first podcast episode, actually. And literally on my way to the flight, and Steve was supposed to come with me because we were going to like look at how like places to live. On my, like, then it was one of these things where it was like, okay, the ski resort's still open, but they canceled all the buses, right? And you were like, what does that mean? Does that mean we should go? Because we were going to go skiing, right? So it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you were trying to figure out as each thing got canceled. And then it was like, okay, there's still flights, but like they're canceling. Like, it was just really confusing. And so on my way to the airport, Sarah messaged me and was like, Kelly, I can't do it. I'm not going. And I was like, and I got to the airport. It was like on, like standing in front of my gate. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I can't, because it's Southwest. I like canceled and got a refund right there.
Oh, okay. But Southwest.
The Airbnb never gave me my money back though. Because they were like, COVID, what are you talking about?
This like, this was like right at the start of the pandemic.
This was like the day, like 3 days after the NBA canceled games. You know what I mean? Like as shit was going down.
Yes. And who got COVID? Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it was before Tom Hanks got COVID and after the NBA canceled. And so like things were like you would leave your house and like things would change between like your house and the store, right? You'd be like, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think everything in Atlanta shut down probably 2 days before I was supposed to leave for Jamaica.
Oh.
And the race I was going to in Jamaica, they said, oh, we're not having the race because in the entire country, there was like 5 cases of COVID. And I just busted out laughing. And then guess what? The joke was on me.
Joke was on you.
Like, I was like, are you serious?
Like, what?
No. Yeah. Because that was Atlanta hosted the Olympic trials for the marathon.
Some people definitely got sick. Yeah.
It was 4 years ago because tomorrow is leap day and trials were on leap day. And I remember this because I had paid off my student loans and I threw myself a no more student loans party.
Okay.
On leap day.
And then shit went down like 2 weeks after that because it was mid-March when shit went down.
Yes.
I remember it because it was the day. So the DPSY applications come out March 15th every year and you have to mail them. And I was literally like, they canceled the DPSY. They like on the day I was like going to mail my application on like March 15th.
And they never cancel. Like,
and they never cancel.
Yeah.
And then I was supposed to get on a flight the next day on the 16th. And I was like, what the fuck? See, it's crazy. Crazy, but at least we all have our stuff and we didn't get our car abandoned in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There were actually a lot, because triathletes are always on like training camps this time of year. There were a lot of people, like I was on training camp this week during the Olympic trial. There were a lot of people that were on training camps and got like stuck places for sure.
I can see that.
Yeah.
There were some people that chose to stay where they were because I guess the countries that they were from, they made a conscious decision. They knew if they left, they couldn't go back. So they decided to stay where they were.
And all the quarantine restrictions, like if you did come back, you would have to like hole up somewhere.
Yeah, that we never really did that a ton. Obviously the cruise ships did, but the US, not as much. Not when you like talk to people from China.
Yeah.
And they like really quarantined. And we were like, I recommend that you don't do that. So Ironman New Zealand's this weekend, pretty big race. I mean, it's like, obviously it's a big race, but it has some big names this year. So that'll be.
We're rooting for Sid, though.
Yeah. I think she, so there are 3 spots. I think she wants like a top 3. And then next weekend is the PTO Miami and the WTCS Abu Dhabi. I know. And then we're like really into it. It's like all happening. So here's my question for you. PTO Miami, it sounds like there are going to be 8 wild cards for the women.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Haley has one, obviously.
Haley's going to kill it.
So who else would you want to have a wild card? Who would you pick if you could pick?
Well, there's Sarah True, of course.
I think she didn't want to do it because she's not here. She could tell us.
She effed up her back.
She effed up her back, like she explained last week. Yeah. Yeah, and then you're not getting any of the short course people because they're doing Abu Dhabi.
They're all doing their Olympic
stuff.
And
it's interesting because you already have so many of the top women signed. It's like, I don't know who else you get at some point, you know?
Yeah, I guess this is where it's like the little crack in the door where like the development athletes get a chance.
You get like you get some like 19-year-old, let them try, give them a shot,
show up and show out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never know what's gonna happen.
I hope they do that. I hope they give some like random, smaller name, a shot. That'd be fun.
Yeah, because there's no obvious developmental pipeline right now for the PTO races, though. Hopefully, that is more integrated in the future. But it seems like this is where the opportunities are.
Yeah.
It's when it's on the same weekend as other big races.
Then you like, it also makes me wonder if everybody's using their wild, like all the people who are contracted, like if there's 8 people who are contracted who aren't doing this first race, then that means they're all going to do all the later season races. Cause you have to do a certain number.
Right. It's, you can miss 2.
You can miss 2. Yeah.
Unless you are in the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. So then they're all going to do the later ones, which is weird.
We'll see.
Ooh, do you want to hear the controversy though? I know Jocelyn wants to hear.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the controversy. So because the PTO is officially partnered with World Triathlon, it's like an official World Triathlon long course championship, even though we don't know what the hell that means, but whatever.
Yes.
So World Triathlon, if you want to get on a start list, like for that Cuba race or whatever, or any World Triathlon race, you have to go through your national federation. And there's a whole process where like you submit your name to national federation, the national federation runs a wait list, the national federation then submits like a list of names to World Triathlon usually. So, So they want to do that process for wildcards for the PTO races.
That's going to take forever.
Well, besides that, obviously they do it regularly for like World Cups and stuff.
Okay.
But the problem is like a lot of like short course athletes might be used to that and they like work with their long course athletes don't do that, right? Like, I don't think Haley Chura has like talked to the National Federation. I mean, I know she has talked to them, but she doesn't tell them what her race plans are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in some cases, like USAT is like relatively chill, but some national federations are very gatekeepery and are no, we aren't going to submit you for that race. No, no, you're not ready. You should do this other race. Like they won't let you do certain
things. Or you do something that pissed them off and you're blacklisted.
Right. And so like a lot of some athletes left short course specifically so they wouldn't have the federation telling them what to do anymore. So now they're like, what the fuck, man? Like,
thanks, PTO. I was trying to get away from my federation and
they're not happy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weird because Ironman, you don't represent your country. Yeah, anybody can just show up and do whatever.
Right.
It's because of that whole like, it's official. World
they
championship.
Wanted it to be an official world championship. Yeah. But you're right, Khadijah, though. It's like PTO, you're not really representing your country. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sort of tried that with the Collins Cup, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
It felt kind of like wonky. Not really like, I don't know.
So I think it's sort of shitty for the athletes, you know what I mean? Who like are like, wait, what the hell? Like I have to like tell Tri Canada that I want to race this and then Tri Canada. Yeah. Or like, OG Sarah was telling me back in the day when she, because she used to live in Scotland and then she, whatever, right? And she basically wanted to get a Canada license and she'd already like won an Ironman at that point. And they were like, well, you need to take a drafting clinic before we give you a professional license.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem because there's a lot of athletes who like live in the diaspora for various reasons. And like, I mean, I'm just looking at people that I know from Cuba. A lot of Cubans, they're still Cuban citizens. They live in America. There is no way Cuba is going to, they'll do it just for spite.
Yeah.
For you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And there's like federations that are like bigger than that, but also quite vengeful.
Right. And then what about all the short course athletes that were very vocal about being unhappy with their federation and left a short course. Like, and now they gotta come crawling back and be like, all those things I said about you in all those interviews.
Yeah, I think I didn't mean that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, this is like one of those behind the scenes drama things that's playing out. I heard it last week and now I'm hearing it from other people hearing it. So it's definitely like the athletes are not thrilled.
Why don't they just have a pro card process like they do for Ironman?
I mean, they have like, obviously the PTO doesn't, what's the word? License people. They just say, if you're a pro license with your own country. You're from, then you can race. So like they have their own ranking system. So right now they just go through their ranking system to pick wild cards. So they could keep just doing that. They could keep just rolling down the spots on the rankings, pick wild cards. I don't know.
It does seem silly because they aren't representing their country when they race the PTO races.
So it's very confusing. Apparently they're having a little bit of a hard time filling this one next week too, just because of the last minuteness, I think.
It could be any of us.
It could be anyone. Do you want to race?
I will jump in and be the caboose. No problem.
Because she's just like driving distance. She can go in her van.
I could go in my van, park right.
They need
in
more diversity and representation on that start line.
I will bring up the caboose. No problem.
Do you know how waiting for me
to come in.
Do you know how many times I've been put in a field just so that people had someone to beat? It's happened to me like a lot. And I'm like, awesome. Great. That's fun.
Someone's got to be the last one.
Yeah. What's the thing like OG Sarah used to always say? Old Sarah? Daniela needs someone to beat, okay? Like, she can't just, if Daniela's just out there by herself, it's not that exciting, you know? Like, that's what I'm here for. So, the other controversy Jocelyn was excited about was men get to do synchronized swimming in the Olympics this year. Very exciting. We're pro equality-ish.
And it's not even called out there demanding anymore.
This, I just want to know, what guy wakes up in the morning and demands to be a
synchronized swimmer? There's one guy, and first of all, it is called artistic swimming now because people who do it solo, so they don't synchronize with anything. They just dance in the water. But there's one guy who, like, I mean, so they do have world championships and stuff for men. And so he's been doing it for like 20 years and he's never got to be in the Olympics and he's like considered like the best and all this. So now he finally gets to be in the Olympics. So there you go.
It's just so fascinating to me. So I saw it because I think on Facebook, I follow like Team USA, which is like covers all the sports. And they recently had a post like, congratulations to like the US artistic swim team who's qualified. They've qualified officially for the Olympics. And there was a picture of the whole team, and in the center was a dude. And I was like,
what's going on?
There's guys?
There are. I mean, there's a handful of sports where like the women obviously take more center stage.
Yeah, ice skating and
ice skating, gymnastics.
Gymnastics, yeah.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for him.
And there's so I would then, of course, went down the rabbit hole and was like, oh, so it's now called artistic swimming. The teams can have up to two men. No more than two men. It's like it can be a co-ed team, but only up to two men.
Okay.
And there's like some worry that that's taking spots away from the women.
Sure.
Oh, dear God.
But yeah, then they came out with like, there's not enough men to do a whole team. So that's why they came out with the solo events, which I'm like, okay, is that why they changed the name from synchronized to artistic?
They changed it a couple years ago. I remember watching it, maybe the last Olympics or the one before, and it was called artistic.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how that's going to change the routines though, because now with guys, you have the power to like throw people completely out the water and stuff like that.
They could do a whole thing.
It might be pretty nice.
I heard one of the guys like has been in Cirque du Soleil for forever doing like
I can see that
water stuff. So
a lot of these like
now I want to watch it.
A lot of these like Olympic level like gymnasts and acrobats and trampoline and stuff like that, they end up in Cirque du Soleil because like that's how you go pro.
That's how you make the money.
Right. But like going pro as like a tumbler is basically going to Cirque du Soleil.
Do they still have ice capades? I remember that as a kid. Yeah, we used to always go see ice capades.
They have. I was just at Disney on Ice over Christmas. Took my daughter there. She loved it.
And was it excellent?
Oh, so my friend Catherine Bertine, she was she's a former pro cyclist, like activist, former figure skater. She was like a pro figure skater for a while. But I texted her while I was there to be like, I'm watching Disney on Ice, thought of you. And she asked if the skaters were still super stick skinny. Because she's also like, she's also a prolific author and wrote about like eating disorders and figure skating and that kind of thing. And I was like, actually, they were like really strong, and they also incorporate aerial acrobatics with the figure
with skates
skating
on? Yes, that sounds like death.
You know what, so figure skating, I mean obviously there's certain sports that have like bigger disordered eating issues than other sports just kind of because of the nature of the sport, and some of them are changing. Anyway, did you know speed climbing, which is in the Olympics now as of like last Olympics, has huge eating disorder issues because like being late is like
you go faster up the wall.
It's a factor, right?
Yeah.
And then you also have like image issues and whatever. There's other, and like historically, like been more men than women. Anyway, so climbing is the first sport, and they did this last week, to enact like proactive, and I'm not sure if this is good or not, I have mixed feelings, but proactive policies where athletes have to take questionnaires before they compete. Like the official, like there are these like official IOC Reds type questionnaires that like flag certain, and there's like body marker measures. Like it's not just BMI. It's like also like heart rate and blood pressure.
Interesting.
And so anyway, so then if there are flags, then that puts you into additional testing. And then you either get like a green, yellow, or orange, right? So like, so it's basically they're like making people go through physicals essentially before they'll license them to compete, to like ensure that they don't have the signs of like low energy.
Eating disorder.
Not an eating disorder, but of REDS, right? Like I can't tell whether or not you have an eating disorder. I can tell if you have signs of like you're gonna cause physical harm to yourself, right?
Okay.
Like,
okay. You know?
Yeah. Interesting. I was going to say some of the things that they say that a person has if they have an eating disorder, like, you know, extremely low heart rate and stuff like that. I have that. I have very low resting heart rate. I'm clearly not a person who has an eating disorder. So
My God. Well, I would assume like a lot of the climbing, I'm assuming this is like adjusted for like elite level athletes. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, it'll be interesting. We'll see how, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but like basically it's such a problem in that sport that the athletes like wrote a petition a little bit ago saying like, you have to address this.
Okay. So it was driven by the athletes.
I'm sure some of them are, I'm sure there are like mixed feelings about the outcome, right? I'm sure it's like,
okay,
you know, but they wrote a petition and now they're like trying this. So we'll see.
I mean, I hope it works in curbing problems, but I feel like people that have problems also can lie very easily on the questionnaires.
My concern is massively that it'll just become like a way to hide it or like shame someone for not being able to pass the questionnaire, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's the whole like, if you, what's the like doping only catches stupid people or anti-doping test? Right. It's like that.
Yes.
So it's like,
okay.
Or this is like a super dark joke, but like, I was watching Veep, the political show.
Mm-hmm.
It's super dark. And there's this line where she says, if you can't steal South Carolina, you don't deserve to be president. It's kind of like that.
Oh.
All righty then.
You know what I'm saying though? Like, I feel like this is going to end up rewarding the people who like lie best potentially.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I didn't even consider that. First thing that came to mind was like gymnastics, dancing, maybe distance running, but never
speed
jumping.
Climbing.
Yeah, that's like
speed climbing. Yeah,
yeah. Speed climbing. I know a couple of people that do that too.
Oh, really? I'm not
Muslim girls. It's cut in the Muslim community. Mm. Fencing, rock climbing, anything sports where you can you know dress covered.
You can stay covered.
I can see that.
Yeah.
All right, since Sarah's not with us, my random question for you before we sign off. So what is the random sport that's not like one of our core three that you think you would be really good at then?
Rowing.
Right? Rowing.
Rowing. Okay. Yeah.
So I always feel like, since we were talking about like climbing, and see, I was like, I always feel like I'd be good at fencing, but I think I'm actually terrible at it.
I can't do anything that requires like a lot of hand-eye coordination, like no ball sports.
I think I'd be a good power lifter. I'm strong as an ox.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. I had a stint at rowing while I was in grad school. And yeah, for like 2 months, I was like, oh, there's national team testing, got on the erg. And because I had years of like triathlon, and I'm pretty tall, I was like naturally pretty good at it and a high capacity for suffering.
They tried to convince me to be the coxswain at Cal because like Cal rowing is obviously like a thing. And I was just like, I don't want to fucking get up just to sit in a boat at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, stroke.
Because they were like, oh, you're pretty strong and small and you seem like loud. And I was like,
I think actually you would be pretty good at it. They say coxswains have like God complex because you're like in control of the boat with like all these bigger people in it.
There you go. I thought I was gonna be really good at rugby. I went out for rugby and I would.
My daughter loves that flag football though.
Really?
So I'm glad it's getting bigger. She's totally into it. So
there you go. All right. Well, next week we'll have a mega episode instead of a mini ride. Thank you everybody for listening and joining us on our group ride, and send us a voicemail telling us, you know, what your sport would be. We'll put the link in the show notes, and we'll see you all next week. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.